Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 3, at verse 1. We continue our study of the book of Acts. Jesus is building His church. This is a test. What was the title of the message last Sunday? Jesus. Y'all are so good. This is the third time we've used this title. And we're going to continue to use this title because this is the one point I want you to get. That Jesus is building His church. And He's using you and I to build that church. We are the body of Christ, the hands and feet of the work of Jesus. And so each message, the title, will be for a while, Jesus is building His church. Study of the book of Acts. Would you stand with me as we read from Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Him has given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all His prophets that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank You. And we praise You for Your wonderful grace. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us Your Word that we may look into, that we may grow thereby. And Lord, I pray today for those present in this service who have spiritual needs. Lord, we all have spiritual needs. There are those, Lord, who need to be saved. I pray that today will be the day that You bring them to salvation. Those, Lord, who have wandered from You and strayed and taken up the directions that are not from You, I pray that You'll bring them back. I pray that, Lord, Your will be done and You would pour out Your Spirit upon this congregation so that we may know we have been in Your presence today. Oh, Lord, we need You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The church in Jerusalem was the first small church. The church in Jerusalem started in Acts chapter 1. They mentioned that there was 120. The church in Jerusalem was the first mega church. Acts chapter 2, 3,000 souls were added to that church. They were the first church to begin mission work. They were the first church to experience persecution. They were the first church to have hypocrites. Ananias and Sapphira, remember that story. You know, they were the first church that did anything. And today, as we look at this study, our goal has to be that we look at this church at Jerusalem and we gain insight about how to build a church. I want to be a part of a church that is being built and growing for the honor and the glory of God, don't you? That's when it's exciting to be a church member, is when you see God moving in that membership and growing His church. And that's what we want to be a part of, right? To do that, we're going to have to learn the lessons of Acts chapter 3 today. Number one, we're going to have to consider the opportunities that God sets before us. Peter and John are on their way to the temple. They're on their way to the temple to pray, and on the way they meet a lame man. It says, lame from his mother's womb. From the time he was born, this man had never walked. He had never been allowed to go into the temple because he would have been considered blemished. They didn't allow blemished people in the temple in that day. This man, every day, was laid at this gate that was called Beautiful. The temple gate called Beautiful. And every day this man would sit there, and as people would pass by going into the temple, that was the time to hit them. You know, when we're on our way to be spiritual, that's the time to catch us. That's when we're generous, right? And so that guy's laying there every day. People are passing him by and he's begging of them, please, can you spare your change? Please, I can't walk. Can you give me money? Please, I have no other way of surviving. Please, help me. And this was this man's form of making a living. And so Peter and John meet this guy as they're going to the temple. And all of a sudden, it seems as though everything else disappears. Peter looks at this man. It says he... It says he fixed his eyes upon this man and everything else was gone. Nothing else mattered at that point. And you know why? Because Peter saw an opportunity. He was on his way to prayer. No longer was prayer time important. He was with his friend John. No longer was his friend John important. All he could see when he stopped and fixed his eyes upon that lame man, all he could see was a God-given opportunity before him. And so that became his focus. As I thought about that, I thought, wow, what a lesson that we need to learn there. How many of you are busy? Oh, come on. Ask anybody how they're doing. What do they say? Oh, we've been busy. So how many of you are busy? Would you just raise your hands? How many of you are too busy? Probably all of us. Probably all of us. You see, the reason I ask that question is we do get very, very busy. If you're the parents of a family in today's world, your time is spent going to work during the day and running after kids at night, right? You've got to take them to cheerleading, gymnastics, baseball, football, whatever there is going on. But once school is out, you pick them up and you hope that you make it back home just in time so that you can go to bed, right? I mean, we're busy. College students, we welcome our college students back today. But you guys are going to be busy. Actually, you guys are amazing. Okay? Y'all are so busy that you don't even get started until 9 o'clock at night. And this is going to tell on me, but you know, I'm like at nine. I'm headed bed, okay? But you guys go all the time. And that's fine. I'm not, you know, this isn't criticized, don't be busy kind of. I'm pointing something out to you. Whether you're college students, whether you're high school students, y'all are busy. You never want to not be busy, right? As parents, I know your parents sometimes think, if we could just have one night at home. And if you're at that point, parents, I'll tell you when it comes. When your children go off to college. Okay? When they go off to college, then they live the late night without you and you can go home and go to bed, right? But we're so busy. As a matter of fact, we're so busy that very often we don't have time to even notice the opportunities that God sets before us. You know? To even, we're so focused that we don't have time to stop and consider, hey, God has us here for a reason. And the reason is not to work. The reason is not to run after our kids and take them to every activity. The reason is not to be involved in all the college activity. The reason that you are here is to share Jesus Christ. You see, Acts 28:19, we're told the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That word go, you know what that means? It means as you go. He's not talking about putting together some kind of community push where we all rush out and we stand on the street corners and preach Jesus Christ. He's not. Even though if you want to do that, wonderful. More power to you. Good job. Okay? But what he is saying is as you live your life, make disciples. See those opportunities that God places before you and take advantage of those opportunities. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time, and don't answer this question, when is the last time you invited somebody to church? And that may be probably too long for many of us. When's the last time that you know that God set someone in front of your path and you say, God's got me here for a reason? Just might be too busy. If you're not having those moments, if you're not seeing the opportunity, yes, you go to work, you be the best employee you can be, you be as active as you want to be, but the first thing we have to do is realize that God has us here for a purpose, and that purpose is to take advantage of the opportunities that He sets before us, and those opportunities are bringing the world to Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. Okay? That's our goal. Number two. We all have an occupation. We all need to know what we're here for. See, there, as Peter's traveling to the place of prayer and he's asked alms by this lame man, Peter said, look at me. Actually said, look at us. Look at us. And the blind man thinks, okay, it's coming. This is the deal. I'm going to receive money. And I could just imagine the guys laying on the floor, sitting on the floor. And Peter says, look at me. And this guy's sitting there saying, yes, 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 this is going to be good. And Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold. And I could see this man's countenance change. Then go on in there and pray. You know, Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold, but that which I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And you know what happened? Peter put out his hand and he took that guy by the hand and he lifted him up. And the guy stood up. He had never walked in his life, and the guy stood up. He didn't just stand up. He began to leap and jump and run and praise God and rejoice in what Peter had done in his life. And you know what Peter had done? Peter had very simply used the gift that God had given him. Okay? Peter had this awesome gift, a gift of healing. Came from Jesus, and that was power that came from Jesus, that Jesus had entrusted Peter with. And he just used his gift. He could have easily passed this guy by and said, "Sorry, got no money, see you later." But he stopped and he took time to realize, hey, there is something I can do. He could have went out and raised money for the poor man, but he didn't do that either. He said, "I tell you what, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have, I'm going to give you." And you know what? He gave that man, met the man's real physical need. That's what the man, he didn't need money. He needed to walk. You know, one of the plagues of Christianity today, I believe, is that most people don't really believe they have a gift. I've heard this. There's too many times where people are like, "Well, you know, I just don't know what I can do. I can't do very much." No, listen. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Amen. Absolutely. I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Therefore, I am gifted. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given me something that I can do. My place is preaching and pastoring. Oh, and I love my gift, but you know, he hadn't called us all to preach and to pastor. I get that. But he has called you to something. He has enabled you to do something. What's my challenge? Look at the opportunity that God sets before you and then figure out how you can apply the gift that God has blessed you with. See, most people, they don't pursue that because they're afraid that God's going to call them to do something they cannot do. Let me rest your put your mind at rest. God's not going to call you to do something you cannot do. Okay? He's not. He's going to call you. He's going to lead you. He's going to set opportunities before you to apply the gift that He's already given you. Whatever that gift may be. Maybe you're a prayer warrior. And you meet up with someone one day and they're just broken. And because they've been hurt in life. Man, whoops. All right, Clay, you've got the screen. But you meet up with one day, and they talk about, "Oh, I'm hurting, I'm in bad shape, and I have this problem." Man, wrap your arm around them and say, "Let me pray with you," if you're a prayer warrior. You meet someone else that does not know Jesus Christ, and God puts them in your path. "Let me help you." God has put them in your path so that you could share Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's something. Point is, there's something you can do. We have a man. I want to share with you about this guy. And he blesses me. And the reason he blesses me is because a few years ago, well, several years ago, probably 6-7 years ago, he came to me and he said, "Brother Doug." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Brother Doug, please don't ask me or don't call on me to pray in public. It terrifies me." I said, "Really?" Now, some of you are thinking, "Well, nobody should be terrified of prayer." He's not terrified of prayer. He's terrified of speaking in public. Okay? And he shared with me. He said, "Brother Doug, I'm ashamed. And it really bothers me." I said, "Whoa. Wait a minute. Don't be ashamed. If God has not given you that gift, do not be ashamed for the gift that God has not given you." Okay? God has given you other gifts and other abilities that you can apply in other ways. And I'll share with you what He does. You see, if you call on the man to pray in public, he just almost freezes him. And if you know who I'm talking about, I asked his permission. He gave me permission. I'm not going to call his name, okay? But he gave me permission to share this. But if you were to call on him public speaking, it just terrifies him. But let me tell you what this man does. Almost every Sunday morning, this man goes down to the jail. And he witnesses to the prisoners in jail.
and tells them about Jesus Christ. And you know, and I look at him, and he was so bothered. Well, Brother Doug, I can't pray, you know, publicly. It really scares me. And I thought, man, don't you see where the gift that God has given you, you are exercising that gift in jail every week? And I'm like, brother, I'll pass you over, you know, to call on you to pray. You just keep going to the jail. So I'll tell you something. You take me. I can pray publicly. Doesn't bother me one bit. But you put me in a 4x4 jail cell with a prisoner. I'm not worried about the prisoner. But something happens when they close those prison doors. They've got some kind of device in there. It sucks the air out of that room. Now, can I go to jail? Yes, I can. Am I very effective in jail? No, not really. Because I'm just a little bit claustrophobic. Okay? But you see my point. This guy can go to the jail and he can be effective, where if I go to the jail, the only thing I'm thinking is, Lord, please let them come get me out of here. Say, Brother Doug, what are you going to do if it ever becomes illegal to preach the gospel and they throw you into jail? Y'all pray for me if that day comes, okay? But my point is this. Grab this. Every one of you are here for a reason. Every one of you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are uniquely made by the hand of God. You look for the gift that God has given you, and you look for the opportunity that God sets before you to exercise that gift. Never be that church member who sits around, oh, there's not much I can do. No, there is. I knew a lady one time who decided all she could do was send cards. And that was the card sendingest lady I've ever met in my life. If you went to the dentist, you got a get well card from her. That was her thing. That was her thing. Let me, at this point, what's your thing? What is your thing? What's your occupation? Why has God placed you here? What has God given you? You know, and let me tell you something else. It doesn't have to be holding an office in church. Yeah, you say, well, Brother Doug, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. That's okay. The idea cannot be limited to what you do in church, but rather what you do outside the church. Because if Victory Missionary Baptist Church is to grow, it's going to grow because its members go outside the church and apply the gifts that God has given them. That's the challenge. See the opportunity. Realize why God has brought you here. And then number three brings us to the outcome. And when people heard and saw what happened with Peter, they ran to Peter. It excited them. And Peter's like, what are y'all looking at? As a matter of fact, he asked him, why are you coming to me as though by our own power we had made this man to walk? It wasn't us. It was Jesus. In verse 16 of the text, it says, he said, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Put it in our language. Faith has made this man walk. Whose faith made this man walk? It wasn't this man's faith. This lame man's faith. You know whose faith it was that brought this great miracle? It was Peter's faith. By the power of Jesus Christ. Peter had faith in Jesus Christ that he would exercise the gift. And as he exercised the gift that God had given him, Peter knew that this man was going to walk again. Okay? Here's the thing. Here's why I tell you this. Peter, when he said, imagine that. You got to picture this. Peter's there and he's about to go in the temple and there's a crowd of people. Everybody sees and he stops and he says, rise up and walk. And then he reaches out his hand. You know what? I've got to admit, had this been me, the thought would have crossed my mind is, boy, I hope this works. Everybody's watching. How about you? You know why people don't use their gifts? Because they think it won't do any good. Here's my challenge. Here's your outcome. Here's what's got to happen. You've got to know that as you go in the name of Jesus, that Jesus Christ is going to empower you to do what He's put you there to do. That you will not be a failure as you minister in the name of Jesus Christ. We've got to, and I preached a few weeks ago, we've got to have an expectation. See, we've got to change this relationship that we have with Jesus from being this, Lord, bless us, bless them, and here we go, and as life, you know, life is, it is what it... No. No. We've got to know that as we minister, we are empowered by the authority of Jesus Christ, and that our ministry is not and will not be in vain. Jesus works. Jesus works. Quit expecting nothing. He's the God of the universe. He created the heavens and the earth. He never fails. You've got to know that as you apply your gift, it's not going to fail. The second thing is you've got to know is you've got to know why Jesus has given you that gift and put you in this place. He has done this so that you can share the gospel. Okay? Now, grab a hold of this. Peter, the miracle brought everybody to him. And what happened is Peter began to preach Jesus. It wasn't about Peter. It wasn't about drawing a big crowd. It wasn't even about healing this lame man. Healing the lame man was not the high point. Peter preaching Jesus Christ was the high point. That's why he was there. You see, oftentimes we stop short of the true purpose of our gift. We look at people who are poverty stricken and we go in there and we give them financial aid. And we stop. We look at children who have been abused and we go in there and we take them out of a dangerous environment and we set them in a secure environment. And we stop. We have community projects where we go out and build homes and mow yards and paint houses and all this. And we say we're sharing the love of Jesus. Listen, if you're going to share the love of Jesus, you're going to have to talk about Jesus. Okay? That's the point of it all. And I'm not, you know... I'm not talking about standing on a street corner and as people come by, you shake their finger in their face and hey, you're going to burn in hell forever if you don't repent. No, that's not what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, you want to run people off. That'll do it. What we're talking about is you using your gift and that gift opening the door of opportunity for you to share the Jesus that you've placed your faith and trust in. Oh, you say, oh, Brother Doug, it scares me to talk about Jesus. It shouldn't. It shouldn't. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's our only hope of salvation. Listen, you don't have to preach Adam. Just share Jesus. Tell them what Jesus means to you. Jesus never intended to be anonymous. It doesn't do any good to exercise your gift until you reveal to them who Jesus Christ is. Listen. In the service today, there have been a lot of people who have exercised their gifts. Before the service began, there were people at the doors.
They were welcoming, shaking hands and saying, "We're glad you're here." They were exercising their gift of hospitality. During our Bible study, teachers stood before you and declared the Word of God to you. They were sharing their gift. In our worship service, Brother Dale led us in praise and worship. He was sharing his gift. I love the special, the horns today, the trumpet and the saxophone. Wasn't that good? They were sharing their gift. I love the special in song. I read. He was sharing his gift. But do you know why all those gifts were being shared? To bring us to this point right here. This point right here. Which says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, Peter put it like this. Repent, verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ who has preached to you before. What do I want to do today? I've preached today, and I hope I've encouraged those of you who are already saved, but what do I really want to do? My goal, my ulterior motive, if you will, has been to come to this point right here and tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He is the only name given among men whereby men must be saved. If you're going to go to heaven, it's going to be through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? You see, His death upon the cross of Calvary, His death upon the cross of Calvary was so that you could have eternal life. Paid your sin debt. For all of sin to come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody here. Are you a child of God? If not, we're going to have an invitation in just a moment. And I want to echo Peter's words to you. Repent. Turn around. Go a different direction. Listen, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's my challenge. Take an honest look at your life and realize it's not working. I have discovered at this point in my life, sin doesn't work. Have you noticed that? It's going to lead me into a position that I do not want to be in, and I'm going to pay a price that I do not want to pay. Sin does not work. Repent. Turn from your sin. Turn from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? If not, we're going to have a verse of invitation. This invitation's for you. If you're here and you are saved and you know somebody that's lost, I'm going to challenge you. Pour out your heart to God on their behalf in prayer. Pray for them. Ask God to convict them. And to make today the day of their salvation, to draw them to Christ. If you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church, you know that God has placed you here and you've just been for some reason putting it off. Hey, don't put off what you know is God's will. Respond to the invitation. If you're here today and there you have prayer needs in your life, as is every week, we all have prayer needs, but I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. Bring those needs to the altar. If you're here today and there is a need, Jesus Christ is the answer. Will you respond? Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for this reminder, Lord, that we're here to use our gifts. And we're all very different. And You have made us unique and You have given us abilities. Help us to use those abilities, Lord, to quit making excuses and to step up and to share the Lord Jesus Christ with the world. Lord, I pray now in this invitation, Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.